I want you to take your copy of the Word of God and be finding with me now the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 20. The 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And in just a few moments, I want to begin our reading at verse number 7. And tonight we'll read and study together Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. I really believe that the book of Acts is the most exciting book in all the Word of God. The book of Acts is an action-packed book. It's a thrilling book. Things are moving and shaking in the book of Acts. Things are happening in the book of Acts. You can summarize the entire book of Acts this way. The Son of God went up. The Spirit of God came down. And the saints of God went out. I love the book of Acts. Now I want us to dial up tonight Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Let me just say what I've already said. It has been my distinct pleasure to be with this fine congregation for a revival meeting. Yesterday was a good day. The whole day was good. It was good yesterday morning. The music was good. The singing was good. The fellowship was good. And everyone was so kind to me. You treated me with such hospitality. I told someone today that the people in South Georgia are friendly. I like South Georgia people. If they make me mad in North Georgia, I'm moving to South Georgia. And I don't know why, in God's divine providence, He has allowed my path to cross with your pastor's path. He's probably the best preacher in the state of Georgia. He's probably the best preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention. But for some reason, He's put me and Mike together. And I am so grateful for that. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to stand in your pulpit. What an awesome responsibility, and I am so humbled and honored to be in this place. Brother Mike can do so many things. See, I was thinking today, he's trim, he's slim, he's well-spoken, he's well-educated, he can preach, and he can sing. It makes me sick. God has blessed him way too much. Acts chapter number 20. What's happening in our passage? What is the storyline? What is the context of the text? The Apostle Paul is on his third missionary journey. He sails into Asia Minor. He's not long for this world. Soon Paul will make the crossing. He'll go to heaven. But before he leaves, he wants to share the gospel with as many people as he can. And he tells Jew and he tells Gentile. And Paul takes the Great Commission very seriously. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshire takes the Great Commission very seriously. You tell people that Jesus was crucified, He was buried, He was resurrected, and hallelujah, He's coming again. And this is what I say. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But until then, let's keep telling people about Him. So now let's read Acts chapter number 20, There was such a special preaching liberty last night. And I rejoice because of what God did in my own heart last night. But tonight is a different night. And there is a message that's on my heart that is strange, peculiar, not a typical revival message, but someone tonight is going to get help from the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter number 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, someone asked me not too long ago, "Preacher, why do we come to church on Sunday and not Saturday like they did in Bible days?" Well, it's true, the Sabbath was on Saturday. But Jesus did not rise from the dead on Saturday, but He rose from the dead on Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. We call it Resurrection Day. It's the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Paul was a preacher. He was ready to depart the following day, the next day. And he continued his speech until midnight. I have never been called a short-winded preacher. Many times I've been called a long-winded preacher, but I promise you, beloved, I will not be preaching tonight at midnight. Some of you are breathing a sigh of relief. I know what some of you is thinking. "Preacher, if you're still preaching at midnight, lock up when you leave. Because we're going to be gone." And there were many candles, there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. They've assembled together to worship on Sunday. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. And notice this, students, fell down from the third loft, the third story, and was taken up dead. Wow. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Brother Lynn, I believe Paul is saying, he's dead, but he'll live again. The same thing could be said of Jairus' daughter. She's dead, but she'll live again. The same thing could be said of the widow of Nain's son. He's dead, but he'll live again. The same thing can be said about Lazarus. He's dead, but he'll live again. The same thing can be said about the lovely Lord Jesus. 3 days, he's dead, but he will live again. Verse 11, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So they brought the young man alive. They took him with them, and they were greatly comforted. I'm interested in verse number 9 of our passage. Go back and look what the Word of God says. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Touch your neighbor and say, Eutychus. 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 This young adolescent, he's probably a teenager, maybe 16 years old, no older than 20. This young man named Eutychus begins to nod off. He begins to go into Never Never Land. He begins to take a nap. He falls into a deep sleep. He is fast asleep. He is sound asleep. And Eutychus was sawing logs. Z's, Brother Andrew, Z's were floating above his head. Look this way. Eutychus was at church and he went to sleep. And the Bible says, as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down, he slouched down with sleep and fell down from the third story and he died. He was taken up dead. I want to preach for just a little while, if God would help me on this subject, more out than in. More out than in. God has sent me to this place tonight to tell a student, to tell a mama, to tell a daddy, to tell a grandfather, a grandmother. It's very dangerous to sleep at church. It's very serious to fall asleep at church while the man of God is preaching. If Eutychus were here tonight at Emmanuel, I believe he would ask Brother Mike if he could have just a brief word of testimony. And Eutychus would say, you better listen to that loudmouthed, chubby preacher. He's telling you the truth. It's dangerous to sleep at church. It's serious to sleep at church. Because I'm Eutychus. And there was a time when I was more out than in. Now let me just tell the story. There is a young teenage boy, no older than 20, and he climbs up into a third story windowsill. And the obvious question is, why? He's at church. Maybe it was a capacity crowd. Maybe it was standing room only, and it was the only seat available. He's young. I don't mind sitting there. And he climbs up and he finds a comfortable place inside this window, the third story. And as Paul is long preaching, Eutychus's eyes become heavy and he's drowsy. He begins to nod off. He begins to fall asleep. And the Bible says he's now in a deep sleep. While he slept and while he slumbered, he began to scoot out a little bit closer to the edge of the window. Now get the visual. Here's Eutychus. Half of Eutychus is inside the window. Half of Eutychus is outside the window. Let me say it like this. Half of Eutychus is in the church. Half of Eutychus is out the church. And as he slept and slumbered and slumped and slouched, he begins to scoot out even farther, closer, closer to the edge. Look up here. You better be careful living too close to the edge. You better be careful, young person, scooting over there too close to the edge. That's what Eutychus did. He's half in, half out. He's half inside the church, half outside the church. And he's asleep. He slept, he slumbered, he slumped, and he slouched. And he scoots out even farther. And you guessed it, lo and behold, he drops over. He falls out completely. Listen to what I'm about to say. If you keep living so close to the edge, eventually you're going to drop out altogether. If you keep living so close to the edge and scooting out more and more and more, and there's more of you out than in, eventually you're going to fall out completely. It happened to Eutychus. Preacher, why did Eutychus fall out of the window right in the middle of a church service? He was more out than in. Now you already know where I'm going. Brother Mike, I want to be more in than out. I don't want to be more out than in. I want to be more inside the church than outside the church. What about you tonight? We're just being honest. Are you more out or in? When it comes to being faithful to church attendance, coming to the house of God, are you more out than in? When it comes to getting inside the prayer closet, getting along with God, are you more out than in? When it comes to having daily devotion, opening the Bible, studying the Word of God, are you more out than in? If Eutychus could take a microphone tonight, I believe he would say this. It's true. It's very dangerous to sleep at church. It's very serious to sleep at church. If you keep living so close to the edge and you get more out than in, eventually you'll drop out altogether. You'll fall out altogether. And Eutychus would say this. And if you keep getting out more than in, it might even kill you. You say, preacher, really? Well, really, that's what happened to Eutychus. So don't preach on that subject. More out than in. Everybody's listening good. Paul is on his third missionary voyage. He sails over and he's telling people about Jesus. And there is a young man who climbs up in the third story window and he begins to sleep. Paul is long preaching. Can I say this? Paul was a preacher that didn't preach a sermonette. He didn't preach a fireside chat. He didn't pull up a stool and give a psychological talk. He didn't give a religious pep talk. He opened the Bible, opened his mouth, and began to preach the Word of God. And he just kept on preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. Lordy be, he never is going to shut up. He just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. The Holy Spirit tells us he was long preaching. I don't know why it is, Brother Mike, but for some reason, my sermons are always around 45 minutes. Sometimes less, 40 minutes, sometimes more, 50 minutes. When you preached at our church, he preached an hour. But our people didn't complain. They just said, sick 'em, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Well, Paul is long preaching. Have you ever noticed that long preaching makes the clock watchers go stir crazy? Yeah. You know what this clock means to me up here in this pulpit? Nothing. Just don't mean a thing. Well, the clock watchers would have had a nervous breakdown at this marathon church service. It's a marathon message. He just keeps preaching and preaching and preaching, long preaching. He never will shut up. And then the clock strikes midnight, and he just keeps on preaching. And Eutychus said, I've heard about enough of this. And he begins to drift off, and he begins to sleep. I heard about another young man that fell asleep at church. Hey, if you're going to sleep at church, at least don't slobber and snore. Brother Lynn, this young man went to church, and he said, this is boring. And he began to sleep, and he began to snore. Everybody around him just kind of chuckled, but they didn't wake him up. They just let him sleep through the entire service. At the end, the pastor said, introduce yourself to someone. Greet those around you on the way out. Well, everybody just bypassed this young man because he's sound asleep. Everyone except for a sweet little elderly lady. And she said, I'm going to introduce myself to this young man. Gently, she tapped him on the shoulder. And he woke up and looked at her. And she smiled and said, hello, young man. My name is Gladys Dunn. He said, I'm glad it's done too. That old boy was more out than in. There's a young man in the Bible named Eutychus. And he kept scooting over there close to the edge, living on the edge. He got more out than in, and he dropped out, fell out, dead. His name is Eutychus. I looked up that name, Eutychus, and I found out that the name Eutychus, this is interesting, means fortunate. Well, I thought, my soul, he wasn't very fortunate in this story. He was unfortunate. He had the misfortune of falling out of a church window dead. His name was Eutychus. I see Brother Ben over here, they just had a baby. Miss Haley, we see these other precious young couples, y'all still having babies. Hey, if y'all have a son, don't name him Eutychus. His name is Eutychus. Why do they call him Eutychus? Well, Eutychus too, if you'd have fell out of the window dead. Oh, I know church members never cuss. Baptists would never say a cuss word. Brother Mike, you'll never let me come back. I'm telling your people to cuss. His name is Eutychus. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is the prince of preachers. Everybody knows about Spurgeon. And it was said that Spurgeon didn't see colors. The only colors he saw were black and white. He didn't see any shade of gray. There was no middle ground with Spurgeon. There was no in between with the preacher. There was just either all or nothing. For Spurgeon, he said, you're either out or in. You're either up or down. You're either hit or miss. You're either hot or cold. You're either dead or alive. There's no in between. Elijah in the Old Testament said something similar. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to straddle the fence? When you're going to make up your mind, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If God is God, then serve God. If Baal is God, then serve Baal. But you can't serve both. You know what he was saying? Either serve God or serve the devil. Hey, if we're not demonstrating what we're advertising, we need to take our sign down.
Come on. That's good.
Who are you going to serve? Which way are you going to go? There's a church in the book of the Revelation called Laodicea. And they're the lukewarm church. They're neither cold nor hot. They're apathetic. They're complacent. They're casual. They're indifferent. They're listless. They're half-hearted. Ho-hum. So what? Lackadaisical. Who cares? And you know what God said about the Laodicean lukewarm church? You make me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said something like this. You're either for me or against me. Ever preachers use this line. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to say, child of God, I love athletics. I go to games all the time. I can't tell you what games I go to, I'll get in trouble. We'll have to perform another exorcism. I love college football. On Saturdays, this is what I do during the fall. I put on my jogging pants. I get my can of SpaghettiOs and my Diet Mountain Dew, and I perform some mechanic work. I put a rear end in a recliner. And I stay there all day long. My wife will finally walk by and kind of dab the drool that's coming out of my mouth. I love ball. I love it. I love recreation. I even go fishing sometimes. I like to travel. I like to go out of town. I'm due a trip now. And all of that, if y'all want to pay to send me to Hawaii, I'll go twist my arm. And all of that has a place, y'all, but not first place. Jesus demands prominence and preeminence in all things. He might have the preeminence. And you know what it means? First place. Vance Havner said, Jesus never comes next. We're either going to serve him or we're not. Eutychus was more out than in. So now this is what I want to do. I just want to close by making three statements. I want to talk to you about three areas that sometimes we get more out than in. I want to say this, sometimes we're more out than in with our presence. Our presence. Brother Lynn, I read this quote one time and it spoke to my heart. 80% of success is just showing up. I mean, just being here. There's something about just showing up. Just being here, present and accounted for. Can y'all believe that I have graduated from college four times? I have been to four educational institutions, and every one of them gave me a degree. They're on my wall in my office at the church. I was never a traditional college student. I always worked a full-time job, and I commuted. I drove down to Carrollton and went to the University of West Georgia. I went to another country over there in Alabama, and I got a degree there too. Four different college degrees. And Brother Mike, after I had worked a full-time job, I had to go to class, and I didn't want to go because I was so tired. And you know how sometimes you'll try to talk yourself out of something? Yeah. Think I'll just go home today. I don't feel like going. But in those days, I was disciplined, and I would always talk myself into going, and I would go to class, and when I got there, I would say, I'm so glad I'm here. I needed this. I would just show up. I would just be present and accounted for. I would just be there. But I thought about it. Brother Lynn, what if I just got to skipping one class and another class and another class and another class? I probably would not be very successful academically. I probably would never graduate. I would probably fail out. I would never get a degree. I'm an old school teacher. If we got any teachers in here, you know what I'm saying is true. I've noticed that students that come to school every day, that show up regularly, present and accounted for. I mean, they're always there. They just do better with their schoolwork. But kids that are truant and they miss here and they miss there, they're absent one day, they're out another day, they don't do as well with their schoolwork. Because there's something about success. You just need to show up. You just need to be there. And it's the same way at church. Have you ever tried to talk yourself out of going to church? Why do you always sleep so good on Sunday morning? We got some folks up in Rockmart, Georgia. They go to Bedside Baptist. And their pastor's name is Seely Posturpedic. Man, they just stay home. I heard about a mama that woke up her son early one Sunday morning. She said, "Wake up, son. It's time to go to church. Got to get ready and go to church." He said, "No, mama. I don't want to go today. Don't make me go to church. I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm just going to sleep in today." She said, "Oh, no, honey, you need to get up. It's time to get ready and go to church." He said, "No, Mom, I don't want to go. Those people down there at the church, they don't like me. They talk bad about me. They're mean to me." She said, "Well, son, it may be true, but you got to get up and go anyway." He said, "Mama, give me two reasons why I have to go to church." She said, "Number one, you're 45 years old. And number two, you're the pastor. And they're expecting you to be there." Can I say, Brother Mike, it's true. I'm expecting church members to come to church. Somebody say amen. Yes. I'm expecting them to come. Yeah. What if Brother Mike played hooky tonight? I'm expecting him to be here. Yeah. Brother Andrew, you better come. You better be here. I'm expecting it. There's an old church sign. I used to see this back in the 70s, back in the dark ages. And this is what it said. Visitors welcome. Members expect. I expect folks to come to church. Somebody said this to me the other day. I don't know why you always harping about church attendance. We got more than any other church in Polk County. We got the biggest church in the whole place. You got more now than you can keep up with. But Brother Mike, I want everybody to come. I just want everybody to be there. I've got some great church members, but I've got some doozies too. There's a lady in our church, runs me crazy. I love her because I got to, but she's one of those that's more out than in. Have you ever noticed the ones that are out are the ones that make you run all over the place? I preached sweet yesterday. I'm going to preach tonight, though. She's more out than in. She's more hot than she's more cold than hot. She's more missed than hit. She's more down than up. True story. She sent me a message the other day, and this is what it said. Pastor, will you start sending me a text reminder that we have church every week? Are you kidding me? Man, I don't have time to do all of that. The next Sunday, I got up in the pulpit halfway in the flesh, and I said, I just want to make a reminder to everybody. Need to make an announcement. We have church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and I want you to come back the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. There's your reminder. Sometimes we get more out than in. Hey, what if God came to your house the way you come to His house? Brother Mike, sometimes I'm flighty. Sometimes I get out. God is always present. You said something a moment ago that was so good. He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. If God ever moves somewhere, He'll bump into Himself because He's already there. But there's something different between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. He's just always there. Somebody said, I hope God shows up tonight at church. He will, because I'm going to bring Him with me. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always there. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst. He's always here. I'm going to make a confession. People text me yesterday, we sure did miss you, Pastor. Mark Merritt did a good job, but we wanted to hear you. We need you, preacher. They might need me, but listen to what I'm about to say. I need the church more than the church needs me. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to tell you about me. If I miss church, I backslide. Now, I can miss one Sunday. Praise God, I love to go to the beach. I might could even possibly miss two Sundays. But if I'm out more than that, I'll drift. I'll wander. I'll get cold. I'll get calloused. I'll get dry. You are looking at someone that needs the church. I wonder, when it comes to church attendance, just being there, just showing up, our presence, are we more out or are we more in? Can I just quote some Bible verses to you? I love Psalms. Psalm 55, verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in company. Psalm 84 and verse 10. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, sometimes, Brother Mike, I mess up on my scripture memorization. I'm going to try this one. If I get it wrong, y'all help me. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is that not right? I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Y'all tell me the word I'm missing. I was glad. I was happy about it. I had a spring in my step and a song in my heart. I was glad. And I don't have to come. I get to come. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If I lived in Blackshear, Georgia, if I lived in Waycross, Georgia, I tell you where I've come. I've come to Emmanuel Baptist Church and hear that skinny preacher preach the word of God and listen to this choir sing the praises of God. I love the church. Eutychus is in a church service, but he's more out than in. You ever heard this, Brother Mike? Preacher, you don't have to go to church to be saved. It's true, coming to church does not save any. We got lost people in this room tonight. You're in the church, but you're lost. You're in this church, but you're not in the church. You've never given your life to Christ. So it's true. You don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't go to church to be saved. I go to church because I'm saved. I want to read this to you. Listen to this. Brother Scotty, listen. Can a bee be a bee without a hive? The bee finds nourishment in the hive. The bee is healthy when it goes to the hive. The bee finds companionship in the hive. Ladies and gentlemen, I need the honey of the hive. I need to be in this place. Why would you not want to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church? Oh, when it comes to our presence, just showing up, just being accounted for, just being faithful, just being committed, are we more out than in or more in than out? We are to love what Jesus loves, and Jesus loves the church. He loves the church so much that He bled and suffered and died for her. He purchased the church. He gave His all for the church. He gave His life for the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I love this. Jesus is our bridegroom. The church is the bride of Christ. Can you imagine one Saturday afternoon going to a wedding? And after the wedding ceremony, you walk up to the groom and you say, groom, I love you. I want to honor you. I want to spend time with you, groom. I want a fellowship with you, groom. But your bride, I want nothing to do with your bride. I don't want to associate with your bride. I don't want to keep company with your bride. I don't even like your bride. You know what? That groom might punch you in the nose. It would hurt his heart. It'd break his heart to hear you say, I want nothing to do with your bride. I wonder about the blessed bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, when we blow off His bride. Just kind of come and go. We don't even really need to go to church. Well, number one, sometimes we're more out than in with our presence. You know what Eutychus would say if he were here tonight? Don't get out of church, because once you get out, it's hard to get back in. Number one, sometimes we're more out than in with our presence. I love this one. Sometimes we're more out than in with our praise. Our praise. Let me show you something. When you read this entire passage, Brother Mike, at the end of the story, the Bible says that Eutychus falls out dead. I like to read what the commentators say about it. By the way, you know what a commentator is? A commentator. And the commentators say, well, maybe he wasn't actually literally dead. Maybe he was just kind of knocked out from the fall. Maybe he just had a concussion. Maybe he was just unconscious somehow. I believe he was dead. But either way, there's an application. Have you ever noticed sometimes we'll come to church and I look out across the congregation and some folks look like they're in a coma. They look like they're unconscious, just kind of. And Brother Mike, you've been at our church. I'm going to brag on our church a little bit. I've been bragging on Emmanuel. We're all in this together. We're kind of a lively church too, like y'all. Man, we raise our hands. We got some shouters. Man, they'll just get plumb Pentecostal. I mean, they'll just shout the praises of God. Our choir begins to sing these songs of Zion. I try my best to be passionate every time that I preach. And most everyone is celebrating. You can tell they're enjoying the atmosphere, but some of them just sitting there. Bless me if you can, Pastor. I'm just going to sit here and pout, doubt, and do without. I mean, they look like they've been drinking pickle juice. They're so sour. Yeah. Sometimes it's even worse. I look out, and some of them look plumb dead. Graveyard dead. Dead as 4 o'clock dead. Dead as a hammer dead. And I say, hey, call the funeral home. Drag them out of here. Just dead. Hey, can I say this? I don't want to go to a dead church. I don't want to go to an unconscious church. I want to go to a church that is alive and healthy and vibrant and saved and excited about it. Can I confess? I'm just telling it all tonight. Brother Mike, on Sunday morning, I am a nervous wreck. I struggle with anxiety bad. And on Sunday morning, I'm in bad shape. I hide it well. Pastor, I'm sorry I forgot to tell you. Can you make my announcement? I guess. There's a new couple over there. Make sure you shake their hands. Make sure you get their name. What's wrong with the sound booth today? What are those guys doing? By the way, y'all are doing good up there tonight. Why is Brother David singing that song? That's not my genre. That's not my style. I don't even like that song. Where are they at? And for about 20, 25 minutes, I have sat in a worship service and I didn't worship. I sang the words to the song. I went through the motions. I smiled at the appointed times. I said, amen. But I came to church and missed an opportunity to praise Him. And I want to say this. One thing that attracts God is an atmosphere of praise and worship. He likes that. He is drawn to that. God inhabits the praises of His church. And He likes it when we sing these songs that magnify Him. Praise Him. Praise is one thing that God can't do. You say, God can do all things. He's omnipotent. He can, but He has reserved praise for you and me. And if we don't do it, He's got a bunch of rocks out there that'll cry out in our place. I used to teach school, and there was a lady that taught with me. She walked up to me, and this is what she said. Are you a loud preacher? Do you have a loud church? I said, what do you mean? I don't like them loud churches. I think we ought to be reverent when we come to church. She went to the first church downtown. And I said, well, I think we ought to be reverent too, but reverence is not rigor mortis. True story, Brother Lynn. The next time I saw her was at the local football game, and she was hooping and hollering and screaming to the top of her lungs. She was ringing a cowbell, and she was telling off the referees, and man, she was excited. But she told me that when she comes to church, she wants to be reverent. Can we just do something right now? Can we just vocally tell Him how good He is? We magnify You. We honor You. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your blood. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for saving me. Hallelujah to Jesus. We praise You. You are a good God. You are a holy God. We praise You. We honor You. We worship You. Let everything that has breath enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Brother Mike, I'm so ashamed that God's put me in a great, lively church like Victory. And I'm so anxious about this and that and doing it right that I miss my opportunity to praise. Last night when Sister Andrea was singing that song, and didn't she sing it? Brother Lynn became a church of God. He might have even spoken some kind of language, I don't know. There was no interpretation. And Brother Lynn just got beside himself. And Brother Lynn, this is true. I thought about it all day. As you were praising, it made me want to praise. As he was worshiping, it made me want to worship. What got on him got on me. Somebody said, well, preacher, okay and all, but you know, I'm just kind of quiet. I just do all my praising on the inside. If the Holy Ghost squeezes your soul, something's going to come out. I know you're quiet and all, but man, you got to express it. You got to communicate it, but you don't have Bible. Oh, yes. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You've got to speak His praise. It's in Hebrews. And the Bible says that praise is the fruit of our lips. If praise is the root, then praise will be the fruit. Praise, praise, praise. When it comes to praising God at Emmanuel Baptist Church, are you kind of more out than in? Are you just kind of a spectator or a participator? Do you get in on it? I'm so glad that Brother Mike sings every word that y'all sing. He's so fired up and excited. Well, more out than in. I've got one more and I'll be done. Eutychus climbed up in a third-story window and he kept scooting over there close to the edge, and he kept scooting and scooting and scooting, and eventually he fell over. He dropped out completely. He was more out than in. Sometimes we're more out than in with our presence. Man, you just got to be here. You just got to show up. Sometimes we're more out than in with our praise. Oh, get in on it. Just go ahead and praise God. Just go ahead and lift him up. You want to. You want to praise him. I wished I could be like Brother Mike. I wished I could be a shouter. I wished I could lift my hands. Won't you just go ahead and do it? There's somebody in this place tonight. This is revival. You've never been outward. You've never been demonstrative in your praise. Why don't you just go ahead and let go? Won't you just go, I don't care what they think. I'm going to praise God. And then lastly, sometimes we get more out than in with our prayer. Our prayer. Preacher, you're not fully exegeting the text. There's nothing about prayer anywhere in this passage. You're doing eisegesis and not exegesis. I believe there's prayer in this passage. If you'll notice over there in verse number 9, he falls out and he's taken up dead. And verse 10 says, Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him. Now this is what I believe. I believe they're in a church service. I believe if somebody falls out of church dead, somebody's going to be praying. We had someone that kind of had a heart issue yesterday, and Brother Mike made that announcement. Brother Lynn told us, and I prayed for her. Him, I don't know who it was. I prayed. If somebody falls out dead at church, somebody's going to pray. Somebody's going to pray. Somebody's going to pray. In verse number 10, Paul says, hold on. He's dead, but he's going to live again. There's going to be a resurrection. Verse 11, when he therefore was come up again, he is resuscitated, he is revived by the breath of God. And then you know what he does? They go have supper. Man, they had to have been Baptist. They start eating. And then Eutychus, he starts talking and talks all the way to the break of day. Now this is how I want to close. There's someone that's already probably on your mind or on your heart, and they are a Eutychus. They used to be at Emmanuel Baptist Church. They used to come to revival. They used to sing in the choir. They used to be in the student ministry. They used to be a teacher. They used to be a member. They used to sit here on the pew just like all of you. But they kept sliding too close to the edge. And they kept getting farther and farther out. And now they've just dropped out completely. You know what would be great tonight? This is revival. If you'd get a burden for that Eutychus. And you'd get a desire to pray for them. Because there's been a time in your life when you were a Eutychus. There's a picture. There's a face that's in your mind right now. And you know what? If you were to come tonight and specifically call them by name and intercede on their behalf, pray for your Eutychus. Who knows? God may resuscitate them and bring them back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, we love you. And God, this has been an unusual message. God, I believe if Eutychus could say one thing tonight at Emmanuel, he would say, you better be careful living too close to the edge. There's a student here tonight, and you come to church, you love church. You love to go to the summer camps, the student camps. But then there's another part of you that kind of does this and that. And you know what this and that is. and you've been kind of flirting with the world. You're sliding over there living real close to the edge. You're kind of getting more out than in. And if you're not careful, student, you might just drop out altogether. There's an adult here. There's a man. And he comes to Emmanuel Baptist Church. He loves this church. But then he goes to his job and he acts a little bit different. Sir, be careful living too close to the edge. You might get more out than in, and you may just fall out completely. Ma'am, be careful living too close to the edge. All over this building, I know what you're thinking. Now, if I go and pray tonight, they might think it's me. Nobody's going to think that. Nobody's going to think that because we're just thinking about ourselves. You may come tonight and pray for some person, some friend, some family member, some loved one that used to be here, a neighbor, a teammate, a classmate. They used to be here at Emmanuel, and they're out. Lord, I pray that we won't forget Eutychus. He came back to life. And I believe tonight, if we'll pray, no telling what God will do.